At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is VSiN Tonight with veteran handicappers Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome in, everybody. Fresh edition of VSiN Tonight presented by DraftKings from downtown Las Vegas at our Circus Sportsbook Studios. Wes Reynolds is here as always. I'm Ben Wilson in for Matt Eumanns. And Wes, we finally have some points in the NBA playoffs. Our first over of the play-in tournament. It cashed. Now, admittedly, by 1 point on a comically low total to begin with. But we have an over, and we have a lot of points early. I hope you didn't bet under.
Yeah,
in, Bulls Hawks.
Cue the Undertaker gif. Yes. Rising out of the casket. Yeah, it was a dead nut under, but then goes over late. 66 points in the fourth quarter, and Sixers get the win 105-104. Nick Batum, Batum VP for at least tonight. Podium game for Nicholas Batum at 20 points off the bench. Very good defense, key block late in the game, couple key steals, and you know, he really carried them when they needed it because they were down and in the second half, and it looked like, okay, this is going to happen where the Sixers are going to have to play an extra game in the play-in tournament. But it was Nick Batum that was the key. Embiid did have 23 and 15, not his greatest night, even though 23 and 15, it's like, man, that's a pretty good night. But, you know, not his best night shooting the basketball. 6 of 17 did get to the foul line. So Sixers do get the win. Did not look great against that Miami Heat zone, and we thought maybe that might give him problems. It certainly did. But Jimmy Butler, not that effective in the second half either because of, you know, the way he came down on that knee in the first half. He only goes 5 of 18. Tyler Hero, 9 of 27, and the Heat will await the winner of our game that's currently at halftime between the Hawks and the Bulls.
Yes, they will. Who had Kelly Oubre and Nick Batum as your players of the final minute for Philadelphia on your bingo card? But sure, Philadelphia does advance. We'll get to that series line and the pricing here in a little bit, Wes, because we are at halftime right now of Bulls and Hawks, and we had an inkling that maybe this would be the one game that had more of an open up and down feel. Two teams who are obviously not in position as the 9 and 10 seeds to really make deep runs when you have one of the best regular season teams of the last 15 years we have seen in the Boston Celtics awaiting if they even get to that point as the number 8 seed. And that has kind of played out true to form here. 73-67, first half flies way over. And as far as the, you know, the players individually, we thought this could be a big Trae Young game. And yet Hawks have 67 points, even though Trae Young's just 1-4 from 3-point range, only 10 points overall. I'd imagine if you're a lot of people were Hawk bettors in this, I think you were too, Wes, right? Taking the three, you probably feel pretty good, right? That the Hawks got basically nothing from Trae Young, and yet they're still very much in this game.
Yeah, you allow 60% shooting in the first half, and you're only down 6 here. So DeJounte Murray with 23 to lead the Hawks. Yeah, Trae Young, we mentioned how erratic he is. I think that's an appropriate term as a three-point shooter. You know, maybe be a little bit more of a driver and distributor. That's why you're starting Bogdanovich now, by the way, in the lineup, because they're Hawks are taking a high volume of threes. Bulls give up a high volume of three-point shots. As for the Bulls, pretty balanced. DeRozan with 18, Vucevic with 11, Kobe White 17, DeSonmu, who missed the last couple games, is going tonight and did start 12 points. So, you know, Coby White is one of those guys. I got to say, like when we talk like NBA awards, most improved player doesn't get a lot of discussion. I think Tyrese Maxey is probably going to get that, even though I like Jalen Williams from Oklahoma City. Coby White, man, he's got to be a factor. This guy has totally raised his game. This guy was an afterthought for the last couple of years, and then started to get a little more run late in the season last year, and you know, has been terrific for this team. So 73-67, Bulls at the half, and you know, I'll get you a halftime line momentarily.
I've got it right now. Actually, we've got mostly pick'ems here across the board, second half or a Hawks minus a half. So you're either sitting at Bulls laying 6 here for the full game or 5.5 total. 111.5 market wide west, which puts us at a whopping 251.
Ordinarily, I would say, my first inkling would be to look at the under, but I'm not even going to look at it.
I think that's smart. That would be my inkling too.
I'm not going with the over, but I'm certainly, you know, it'd be under a pass, but sometimes pass is the best bet.
Sometimes pass, yes, is the best bet. They're actually right where we're at. Circa did just take a big bet to the over. That's moved a full point up to the over. First half, West only went over by 27 points. So.
Yeah, unbelievable. So, this is a, you know, definitely a shootout. And the winner, by the way, is going to get Miami. We do have some news, actually, on Miami. This just a moment ago as we were coming on the air from Shams Charania at the Athletic and Stadium. Jimmy Butler is feared to have an MCL injury in his knee. The injury could sideline Butler for an indefinite period, MRI to come, because we saw that he was gutting it out and he was playing in the second half, you know, maybe trying to be playoff Jimmy. But yeah, when he went down with that knee injury, remember he stayed in the game to shoot the foul shot and then went out and then went back in, and it's like, oh, he's moving okay. I don't know what he was given to make him move okay, but he wasn't the same in the second half, because you could tell he was deferring a lot, and it was a lot of Tyler Hero. It was a lot of Jaime Jaquez taking the shots, and we will wait and see what happens with Jimmy Butler. We already had a very key injury last night that's obviously going to affect another game play-in tournament. And
Tyler Hero, 27 field goal attempts.
Yes.
27.
The Heat backers were holding out for a Hero, shall we say.
Yeah.
Shout out Bonnie Tyler.
But I like it.
You know, he did, you know, they did stay within the number, though. Eric Spoelstra, man, when he is a playoff spread coach, terrific, and especially when he's an underdog. I did not have the wherewithal to take the Heat tonight. I didn't lay it with the Sixers because I thought, 5.5, that's getting a little bit high.
Got bet up a full point, yeah.
Yeah, it's getting a little bit high, so I ended up on a couple props that came through.
Really, the learning lesson so far, at least, I mean, these super public, like, obvious sides have really gotten hammered so far. I mean, Golden State, huge move last night, blown out. Philadelphia, never covering for a single point. We're lucky to win the game, if we're being honest, let alone cover as 5.5-point favorites. So I wonder, and this has already been a year where we've seen a lot of market moves in the regular season, Wes, the opposite results happens, and not to say you necessarily just blindly fade the market here as we get into the playoffs, but something to consider. I'd say at the very least, I would not be in a pure steam chasing mode as we go into round one.
Exactly. Like, and when you have fewer games too, and you know, you're getting a lot more casual bettors wanting something to bet. So they're maybe getting involved a little more in the NBA market if they haven't been involved during the regular season already. So yeah, be careful with some of these moves, you know, especially on sides. And then obviously for like props, you're always going to see superstars get bet over.
Juiced way up.
Like tonight with Embiid, and I ended up on under 30.5 points. I just thought that was a little bit inflated. Plus, this is a tough matchup because, you know, Bam, I think over the last several meetings, Bam has held him to like 22.5 points. So I thought, well, 30.5, you know, this is just because all the love has been on the Sixers. And and look, I took the Sixers at 8-1 to win the East just because I thought that was a decent value being in the lower end of the bracket, and you'd avoid Boston at least until the finals, you know, assuming that they don't get knocked out, which we know can happen because it did last year to Milwaukee. But you got to be careful with some of these props because all the superstars, you know, when we get to, and sometimes they'll go over anyway, but all Luka and Jokic and Kawhi and all these guys, they're going to get boosted up all the time. And you're going to see, you know, when you see those tweets, whether it's from John Ewing over at BetMGM or any of the others that provide that information, say most popular prop tonight, Jokic over, Shocker. Doncic over, Tatum over. So, you know, be a little careful with those.
I'm not someone who normally would play those unless it's a specific matchup. We talked about Tyrese Maxey maybe with the Embiid part having a big game, and Maxey went under all of his props tonight. Even in a great matchup, that was something I was totally wrong on in that matchup. As far as Embiid's health, he certainly didn't look 100%. He's had stretches even since coming back from injury, Wes, where he's looked kind of hobbled, banged up a little bit. Now we have the series price that comes out. Sixers get the Knicks in the 2-7, the Julius Randle-less New York Knicks, who still were amazing down the home stretch of the regular season, stole the 2 seed on the final day of the season. And it's Sixers slight favorites minus 115 at DraftKings, Knicks minus 105. You have that Sixers ticket, Wes, at 8-1. How concerned are you right now with what we're seeing?
A little bit. Knicks, by the way, that is the early evening game on Saturday. Game one in the Garden, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. And, you know, seeing 2.5 mainly in the market for game one for the Knicks, 207 on the total. So, yeah, a little bit of a moderate concern here, but I think it's good. You know, at least Embiid's going to get a couple days to rest here. And look, the Knicks, we mentioned them being banged up with Randle. Anunoby has been in and out of the lineup. Tom Thibodeau has a history of riding those starters very hard and playing them heavy minutes, just like he did in Chicago all those years ago. So, you know, I still like the Sixers in the series over the Knicks. I just think the Sixers, at least, you know, have a little bit more playoff experience together, certainly, than the Knicks do.
Would you look at a series total games here now that release the DraftKings? They're making you lay $2 to go over 5.5. But, I mean, it seems like on paper, Wes, your classic series that is slated to go 7.
It does. And then, you know, obviously with a pretty even split here, you could do series spread. Obviously, you're going to pay the tax if you're taking +1.5. And I usually do that with a little bit bigger of an underdog than certainly this, which is essentially a coin flip.
Knicks plus a game and a half. If you were to say this is more likely to be Sixers and 7, you could lay -150 on that. Although, you know, based on the home court, Knicks have it. I would probably say if you think it's going to be that close, you might as well just, you know, wait this out and say, look, if you like the Knicks, just, you know, bet them in game one here. And I should say, instead of betting him game one, you just play the series price right now as a dog. They'll flip the favorites, and you could come back, take Philly, and you kind of play it that
exactly
way.
That's one thing that I like to do a little bit, both in the NBA and the NHL playoffs. You know, you kind of trade out, you can scalp a little bit, and, you know, try to get plus on both sides and just be an earner here when you get the chance to do that with these in-play series prices.
We will keep you posted, too, on the rest of the second half. Bulls and Hawks are underway, 79-76. Atlanta makes a little bit of a run here at the start of the third quarter, down to a 3-point game in the live odds. I'll reflect that here as the spread is much tighter now. It's Bulls laying 3.5. So right on that closing number here, Bulls -3. As we're just getting started on the Wednesday edition of VSiN tonight, we'll talk a little bit of golf, preview the RBC Heritage coming up later this hour with our pal Steve Hennessy from Golf Digest. But up next, it is award season. Wes, as the regular season is over in the NBA, we'll talk about awards and if there's any odds worth betting on right now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
We'll be right back. VSiN Tonight with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free. All you have to do is sign up at vsin.com/splits. The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes. You can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not only today's action, but future events as well. Take advantage of this limited time offer. Visit vsin.com/splits right now to claim your free 2-week access to VSiN's betting splits. Don't strike out on potential winnings. Visit vsin.com/splits and start making smarter bets today. Well, I was noticing on my walk in here to the studio, Wes, on TNT, the hockey coverage, they're all wearing tuxedos tonight. I thought that's cool.
Yes.
That's nice. And then I realized, oh, it's because they're doing their awards here, end of the season. Now, we're not suave enough to pull off the tux.
No.
We're not Henrik Lundqvist and Anson Carter. And we do our best to live up to them, but
yes,
we aren't quite to that level. But we will talk our own NBA awards here. And more importantly, if there is still anything even worth betting, because the odds certainly say there's not, right? This is kind of viewed to be a done deal throughout most of the market. As we talk NBA, now that the regular season is concluded, nothing that we see in the play-in tournament will have any bearing on this. It's just sort of a thought, Wes, of could voters be swayed? And I'm not, I don't know how you are. I personally don't like to bet any sort of market that involves voter decision. I've been burned the hard way. I've been burned enough talking about you, looking at you, Dak Prescott, NFL comeback player of the year 2 years ago. I thought I was good. He was like minus 10,000 with 5 weeks left in the season. And then out of nowhere comes Joe Burrow and I lose that ticket. So I am someone who kind of shies away. Is there anything right now, Wes, that you, if we just start with looking at where the odds are versus somebody who you disagree with, is there anything out there that you would say it's maybe worth either take a flyer on a dog at this point that you think maybe the odds don't have it right? Are you in lockstep here with where the market's at?
Well, look, I think we're looking at the Joker as the MVP, so obviously nothing there. In terms of a defensive player of the year, I think that's pretty much a wrap for Rudy Gobert. In most improved, I think Maxey's going to probably get it. Jalen Williams, because I sent this in to Kelly Bidlin for the Sunday show that he and Dustin Swedelson did.
The VSiN straw poll.
Yes,
yeah.
And I actually went with Jalen Williams from Oklahoma City as my most improved. If Maxey gets it, I have no problem with that. But I thought that those were the two. For six man, maybe Naz Reid for me, and I don't believe he was the favorite earlier this week for six man. That would be one that I would look at. I think Naz Reid has really been terrific for the Minnesota Timberwolves. So I don't know as of now. I was just actually looking for odds. They take him down mostly during the games here. So Malik Monk certainly
one's
I think
favorite,
was a consideration for that as well. But Naz Reid to me, he would be the one if I had a vote, which I very well should. But if I had a vote, it would be Naz Reid.
It's funny you bring that up. That's the one I was looking at where, you think about where these odds are at. And this is probably the one market that still has so much to be decided because, you're talking about sixth man of the year. It's not as popular, not as talked about. I feel like we had a conversation every week on the network about MVP and the odds and what the timing was to get in. Naz Reid coming into today, and as you mentioned, the odds were taken down once these games started. Naz Reid plus 110 at DraftKings and Malik Monk minus 150. I mean, Monk, though, was, minus 300 almost a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, because Monk, remember, missed the game last night against Golden State. So, I don't know if it's out of sight, out of mind, but that seems to be the only one that's kind of competitive right now. I think Mark Daniel is going to get the coach of the year from Oklahoma City. They end up being the number one seed in the West, so I know some might consider Missoula from the East, but a lot was expected of Boston. I don't think a lot of people expected Oklahoma City that they were going to be the number one seed in the West.
Yeah, Reid ends up playing 80 games. I think he started in the mid-teens for Minnesota, but it's also, a guy who was so versatile for them. You think about what the Timberwolves were missing with the Karl-Anthony Towns injury down the stretch, and then you combine that with the injury to Monk where he had the knee issue, only ends up playing 72 games, missed a big chunk down the stretch, and the Kings really kind of faltered, even though they get the win last night over the Warriors in a big way with no Monk. The Kings were one of the more unimpressive teams who made the postseason in any format, West, coming down the home stretch, and you're talking about Kings as the basically what the 9 seed coming into the tournament against Minnesota, who was a legitimate top 6 team all year in the West.
Yeah, and you know, just looking at these awards too, one guy that is actually ineligible, and I had read this, and I just noticed this over the last couple of days. Dante DiVincenzo is actually ineligible for most improved player, who certainly should be a finalist and a candidate, because under new regulations, you've got to play in at least 65 games, and for a game to count toward the total, you got to log 20 minutes of playing time. So he actually came up 3 games shy of meeting that latter requirement, because he didn't come a starter until like second half of the season, you know, and really a dead eye 3-point shooter, certainly gets the volume up. So he was ineligible for that because of the minutes. But, you know, the Knicks have been basically Team Villanova, Ben, and I guess that's a good idea considering those guys won a bunch of championships in college. Jalen Brunson, of course, I think has emerged as that superstar finally that maybe New York was looking for, because they never could sign that big star in free agency that everybody expected. And it's like, oh, you end up with Jalen Brunson. Well, all you ended up with is one of the best young guards in the league. And then you put him with Josh Hart, who's a double-double machine, points, rebounds, assist as well, and a very good defender, and also DiVincenzo. So it has been Team Villanova, Team Jay Wright carrying the New York Knicks.
You know who I had a G League game who I saw in person, not in the Knicks organization, but Joey Calcaterra. I just had, and I'm like, wow, look at these guys. Like, they're just all over the place. He plays for the Lakers G League team, for those who didn't know, Joey Calcaterra. It's like the UConn guys are just everywhere. And you understand why, because of the pedigree. He wasn't even a starter on the championship team last year.
Exactly. So, you know, not a lot of value you can find in awards. And we didn't even mention Rookie of the Year, because that's been, I think, a foregone conclusion for a while. It is Victor Wembanyama, who I know you saw during your time doing G League Goodnight when he was playing for the Metropolitans. Was that what that team was called in France?
Metropolitans 92, yes.
Yes, and I went over there, over there. Old Dollar Loan Center, and saw him when he was playing G League Ignite, and I looked at him. I was like, man, this is 7'4 Kevin Durant. Just to see him shoot threes. And, you know, they monitored his minutes, but what an impressive season, because there was a while where it was close there between him and Chet Holmgren, who technically is a rookie, even though not technically a rookie, but this is his rookie season because he didn't play last year. That actually hurt me one year, because I had Donovan Mitchell for Rookie of the Year, when he should have won it, and they went to Ben Simmons, who wasn't technically a rookie. This was actually his second year, even though it was his first year playing. But I still think Donovan Mitchell should have won that.
I feel for you, Wes. I feel like you should have that year. Yes, the other odds, too. So Dagnall of Oklahoma City, minus 300 coming into today. Chris Finch of Minnesota, 4-1. It's not one I would quibble with the coach of the year, even though that has been viewed to be the tightest market, even if the odds don't reflect that here right at the end. If I had a vote, not that I would make a bet on this, because I do agree that this is probably a done deal. Tyrese Maxey will win most improved. And maybe this is just because I think we sometimes have personal biases creep in, and I've been such a big Coby White fan and like a believer, whether that's, you know, fantasy, player prop-wise, and you just never put it together until this year. My vote would be for White, who's second at 7-1, but it's not worth making a bet right now.
Yeah, this guy, look, he was just a reserve rotation guy. Last year, averaged about 9.5 points, 3 assists, and now started 78 games. You know, almost doubled that point output, averaging 19 a game, 5 assists, went from 23 minutes to about 36.5 minutes. Now, injuries certainly have helped, but look, Chicago wouldn't have even been in this play-in scenario if it wasn't for Coby White. They would have been done because, of course, LaVine went down. Now, I've never thought with the Bulls that DeRozan and LaVine really made that great of a combination together. I think, you know, sometimes guys just don't work, Ben, and I don't think that they've worked well together. So we'll see what the Bulls do after this season. But right now they're focused on what's going on right now. 93-85, 4:18 left to go in the third quarter.
The Chicago Bulls, often referred to as the best 39-win team in NBA history.
Often referred to, you say.
It's like the Arizona Cardinals of the NFL, the best 4-win football team we've ever seen.
Yes,
it's amazing. The Bulls
that is very like Holtzian, because I remember Lou Holtz would always, they'd be like a 50-point favorite against somebody. Well, they got the best punt coverage team in the country. They got the best extra point block team in the country. Man. He'd always find something for a team that when he was at Notre Dame that they were just going to run roughshod over.
Imagine Lou Holtz in the NIL era.
Oh, God.
What is the NIL? What does that stand for?
Yeah, speaking of NIL, though, just as a side note here, all the takes of she'll make more getting NIL in college than she will. She'll take a pay cut in the WNBA. Survey says, as it got announced that or Shams Charania put it out there, Caitlin Clark, 8-figure deal with Nike expected to sign.
Worth every penny.
Yes.
I mean,
gets her own shoe.
Ticket prices already. You don't even need to.
No.
Your salesman days. You wouldn't
exactly
even need to sold.
Exactly. They'd be calling me.
Only thing I would bet here as far as the awards would be the Naz Reid. I'd take a stab. I still think
that's a really close market.
At +110 if you could find it right now. All right, we'll talk some golf. RBC Heritage starts tomorrow morning. Let's go to Stephen Hennessy on the other side when we come back.
This is VSiN Tonight with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, check out our new look, VSiN.com, with best bets, betting splits, odds by state, betting tools, and betting guides. Not only does our Wes Reynolds from the Long Shots crew have you covered on his best bets for the RBC Heritage starting tomorrow morning, but he also, on our homepage right now, check out his LPGA Chevron Championship best bets. I'm excited for that one.
We do have that. We didn't see one favorite get beat last week. Scotty Scheffler kept it rolling. We'll see if Nelly Korda is going to keep it rolling. Nice. She is the 5-1 choice. The second choice, by the way, unlike the Masters where there is some guys kind of close at like 10-1, 12-1. Second choice, 25-1 about a group of three or four players at the Chevron Championship this week.
I'm just sad that used to be Dinah Shore, right?
And they moved it. It was the Dinah Shore, and now it's the Chevron Championship. It is still the Dinah Shore Trophy, but I did prefer it when it was at Mission Hills.
I played that course once, and they've got the pond on 18 where the winners always jump in. And I'm like,
Poppy's Pond, yes. Like,
that's the cool. Now you're not allowed to do it if you're not a LPGA winner, but
right.
I wanted to.
Right.
But anyway, it was right there. Things have escalated quickly. West in Chicago. Bulls up 16 now, 105-89 here toward the end of the third quarter and pulling away from Atlanta. Bulls have moved now to a very big in-game favorite. That's your update here in the in-season tournament, out to 12.5 point live favorites. 255.5 is your total. But we will continue the golf conversation going on right now since it's a great event. As we go out to Harbortown, RBC Heritage, and joining us on the Progressive Guest Line, it's our pal Steve Hennessy from Golf Digest, Deputy Managing Editor, who goes right off from the annual trip to Augusta National. And now get set for the RBC Heritage. Steven, great to have you back here on the show. I was reading your article about you and one of your pal bettors were sweating a bet in person, which I imagine in the world of Augusta, when you don't have phones, for people who don't know that, you're not allowed to have your phones out on the course. That had to be absolutely wild. What was that experience like, trying to sweat out a Willie Z top 20 bet, chasing him around the course?
Yeah, it was crazy because, you know, there's only a few manual scoreboards around the course and, you know, they don't go all the way to top 20. So, you know, you're out there and you're just hoping to see some shots. And on Sunday, you know, the crowds were pretty crazy, but, you know, fortunately Willie Z was a couple groups behind the leaders. So, you know, there weren't too many people around his group. We actually got to see, you know, some insights. He hit this great shot around a tree and we were fired up. My buddy Gordo from ESPN. So, that was cool. Ended up bringing him in and cashed our top 20 bet. So, you know, it kind of makes it's different, you know, not having your phone, not having the scoreboard to sweat it, but, you know, to get that win, you know, while you're in person and kind of feel like you're rooting him home, it made it even that much more enjoyable.
Wes, I wish I didn't have a phone as my Joaquin Neiman top 20 bet. Madden only came up one shot.
Yeah, there were a couple of those guys late. Matt Fitzpatrick, fell out of the top 20 late, but had to survive that Benny on. The Benny on at the big price really helped me out on the placements, though, because he bogeyed 16 and 17. I'm like, okay, dude, just two putt.
Just
two putt here.
Fitzpatrick Cantley implosions to lose on top 20.
Those that had Patrick Reed top 10, he bogeys 18. Loses the matchup to Tyrrell Hatton as well. So a lot of different ways you can win and lose in golf. But Steven's been doing a pretty good job with us all season in terms of giving out some winning bets, whether it's placement markets or outrights. So, Steven, let's start out with a couple of the outrights this week. You're buying into a guy that had not really played well but did show a little bit of something last week at the Masters, and he is on your card this week. Tell us who, please.
Yeah, Max Homa, 28-1. You could still grab on him. You know, the reason, Wes, why I really liked him was so many times at Augusta, we saw him hit these great fairway wood shots off the tee, and that's exactly what you need at Harbortown. It's going to take driver out of these guys' hands on most tee shots. And I didn't see him miss one of those. It's a little anecdotal, but, you know, we saw him play great into the weekend, and really it was the 12th hole, and that shot, that tee shot on 12 wasn't too bad. He missed his mark by about 2 yards or so, and then all of a sudden he's taking an unplayable. So, you know, I love the reaction to it after. He kind of laughed it off, that, you know, wasn't too emotional about it. And, you know, same thing while he's been at Harbortown this week. So I think it's a great suit for him. You know, it seems like the ball striking is coming back to, you know, sort of peak Max Homa levels. And I think the price is decent at 28-1.
Stephen Hennessy from Golf Digest joining us right now on the Progressive Guest Line here on VSiN tonight. It's not just the color of the jacket that the winner gets, Stephen, that's different here about Harbortown and the RBC Heritage. A lot of other different elements here as well. Of the changes that we'll go to see from Augusta National over to Harbortown, which player or two do you feel like is going to struggle as a result of that quick change, where the course just maybe doesn't really suit their strengths here and is a player you'd maybe bet against this week?
Yeah, it's kind of a complete opposite test here. Augusta National is wide open. You could hit driver pretty much everywhere. That's the type of course that Rory McIlroy should play well at, didn't really at Augusta National, and now comes to Harbortown, where, you know, his biggest weapon is taken out of his bag. So, and he doesn't have a great history at Harbortown, so that checks out. I'm fading Rory wherever I can. In a day one matchup, I'm taking Xander over Rory. You get that at -115, and, you know, Xander kind of has the complete package, big gap in approach play and around the green play, which are big at Harbortown. And Jordan Spieth as well. Spieth just kind of looks lost, guys. You know, every week it's something different that he's struggling with. So I found a matchup, Max Homa over Jordan Spieth. So I'm going to fade those guys wherever I can.
Did you see the hole, Wes, the nine Spieth made on 15, where he legitimately bladed three straight chips? Like, I've never seen that out of a guy like Spieth.
On the Spieth side, I think that he needs to get surgery on that wrist. It's been bothering him for a while. I just, you know, I don't think that he's going to return to form or even close to form until he gets surgery on that wrist. And I'm also with Stephen. I went against Rory in a matchup. I actually took Patrick Cantlay over him, and he's not in great form. But talk about a horse for the course. That would be Patrick Cantlay here. Third last year, second lost to Spieth, actually, in that playoff. So we'll see if the Pete Dye ace and Patrick Cantlay can play well yet on another Pete Dye here at Harbortown. Stephen, in terms of dark horses this week, look, it's a signature event. Only 69 players in this field with Victor Hovland's withdrawal. So, look, sometimes it's hard to find guys a little bit down the board, but there are some good players that aren't quite, you know, where the premium's already being taxed. So have you found any this week, a little bit in the mid-range here at the Heritage?
Yeah, I'm not getting too crazy, Wes, because, you know, Scotty Scheffler's here. So, you know, odds are he's probably going to win again. But the one name that did stand out to me is Chris Kirk at 65-1. He already has a signature event win this year, and he played great at Augusta. He had the round of the day on Saturday in really tough conditions, and we just know that he plays his best golf on these tighter positional type of courses. So the fact that he played well at Augusta, which you wouldn't think would suit his game, I think he's worth a shot at 65-1.
And Chris Kirk on the outright market. It's always that classic case study where we go, Stephen, from a major, and it's like, is it hangover or is it continuing of momentum? It's an interesting discussion to have every time you go, especially a major like Augusta now, into a big event tournament here like the RBC Heritage. Where do you stand on that? Is there any other players that kind of fit that mold of guys you would think that just because it's now the week post-major, they could still carry that momentum here into a tough field like this?
Yeah, it kind of goes both ways, I think. Like, some of the guys who weren't really a factor at Augusta, you know, they've had a couple days to, you know, kind of reboot and, you know, attack RBC Heritage. So someone like Brian Harman comes to mind, who's not really being talked about. He's down at 55-1. And I mean, he just finished second at the Players just last month on a similar kind of course, you know, positional, less than driver, around the green, important. So Brian Harman is probably not a name on people's radars, which is kind of crazy given how well he's played. So, you know, guys like that who have been able to reset, I do like. But, you know, then the converse side is someone like Colin Morikawa, who was right there, you know, the disappointment. And this is a great course for him and, you know, almost won here when Stewart Cink won a few years ago. You know, don't love Morikawa to get it done, but, you know, this is a signature event, guys. And, you know, usually Harbortown the week after the Masters is a, you know, a huge sigh of relief. But, you know, the last couple of years, this is a big time event. These guys are showing up and they're ready to win. So, you know, in years past, I would say, you know, fade the guys who are in the mix at Augusta, but, you know, it's just up the road from Georgia. And, you know, these guys are mostly going to be, you know, all systems go.
Steven, I don't know if you do a lot of LPGA betting. I'm sure you follow it at least casually just to see what's going on with the tour. You want to get in front of Nelly Korda this week at the Chevron Championship?
Not particularly. Four wins in a row for Nelly. You know, that's serious stuff. That's on Scotty's level. I do think one name, I don't know if you're on him, Wes, or her, Wes, but Lilia Vu, she is the defending champion here at the Chevron. And I mean, she's playing great golf. She actually declined to come to our golf writers dinner at Augusta last week because she was, you know, preparing to defend her championship at the Chevron. So, you know, I kind of like that move. And 25-1, like you said, that big gap between Nelly and her. I don't know. I think she's worth a shot at 25-1.
Don't forget, Lily is number two in the Rolex rankings behind the aforementioned Nelly Korda.
Info too from our guy Steven Hedges. Great to see you as all, Steven, and best of luck here with all your plays for the RBC.
Thanks, boys. You too.
Thanks,
always
Steven.
A pleasure to have Steven here on our Progressive Guest Line. When we come back, we'll give you an update on the NBA with some live odds here on VSiN tonight.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from the Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is VSiN Tonight with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code VSIN. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That is code VSIN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Big thanks to Stephen Hennessy from Golf Digest for joining us to talk RBC Heritage. We'll do a little bit of a deeper breakdown as well with you, Wes, since you're on the long shots crew. Matt Eumanns, who I'm in for, he has a couple plays. We'll share those as well. And speaking of DraftKings, we'll talk with our pal Matt Grill, DraftKings trading manager, coming up here in about 15 minutes. I'm curious how well the books have done, Wes, so far in the play-in tournament, considering the two most public sides, Warriors and Sixers, fail to cover. Warriors lose outright, and at least, I don't know how, it seemed like it was pretty good two-way in this.
Yeah,
this
I think it was pretty even.
This one, I would say, probably more so even if anything, you know, people were betting the over. Actually.
Every time it went to 3.5, it got gobbled up on Atlanta, but 9:03 left to go, and Hawks season about to end here. 114-96, Bulls up big over the Atlanta Hawks. Kobe White, who we were talking about as like a most improved player candidate, he's not going to win the award, but man, 32 tonight for Kobe White, leading all scorers. And it was basically a one-man run there in the third quarter, which
most
put
improved.
Some distance here, absolutely.
Only this was game 80, if it was game 82 and it counted mm-hmm. for the regular season. I feel like his odds would shorten based on the,
yes.
the gravity, the national nature of this game as well. It sounds like we will get, as a result, Chicago at Miami here for the rest of the Eastern play-in tournament, but that is still yet to officially be decided. Bulls are 14.5 point live favorites. If you think the Hawks come back, you can get 40-1 on the money line with 9 minutes to go. I don't think that's going to happen.
Go for it if you want to do it.
They're up 18 now. So I would probably advise not.
No.
So we were on the air last night when as the Western play-in games are wrapping up. We did get an opening line last night on the New Orleans Pelicans, even though that DraftKings put that line out, even though there was not anything known about the status of Zion Williamson, who left the game late with a leg injury in a loss to the Lakers. Pelicans hosting the Kings now in the final Western play-in tournament game here on Friday. That opened Pels as a 2.5-point favorite at DraftKings, 220.5 the total. Quickly, movement toward the Kings, toward the under, and that has only continued here today, Wes, after we get confirmation. A hamstring injury for Zion Williamson. He will be out of the game on Friday, and the latest market movement as a result here, very big swing as you would expect. Now Kings are road favorites, so that will make the sixth appearance between these two teams, Wes, and the Pelicans, who were 5-0 against the Kings in the regular season, will be underdogs for a sixth straight time. 1.5 point dogs now, your total all the way down to 213.5.
Yeah, 5-0 straight up and ATS as underdogs. You know, if this was just Zion, I would be a little bit more want to go ahead and go with the Pelicans here, but it's also Brandon Ingram. Remember, Brandon Ingram didn't get as many minutes as we anticipated last night. I think we played 24, 25 minutes last night, was not in late in the fourth quarter because that was Zion before that injury, obviously, with just a couple minutes left in the game where he tied it at 95 with 3:19 left to go in the fourth quarter. But that lineup late was Larry Nance and Jose Alvarado, CJ McCollum, Trey Murphy. Yeah, you didn't have a lot of your starters there trying to close it out against the Lakers, and the Lakers just had too much in the end. They win by 4, 110 to 106.
Ingram piece was just so bizarre. I mean, benched for 7 minutes and change, and you just wonder, you kind of have to use him going forward.
Yeah.
You'd think. I also, the angle on the Kings, who are pretty much left for dead, even though they've got a borderline top 20, you could argue top 15. I'll be curious to see where the voting comes out. Domantas Sabonis is certainly going to be in the mix for those final third-team All-NBA spots when the voting comes out. But even though he's basically a walking triple-double, Kings have really struggled with consistency around him because he's not the best defensive enforcer in the interior. Kings really struggle down the stretch, but how much of that momentum can they carry over into Friday now, Wes? You get Zion now out for the Pelicans. You just knock out the Warriors, who were everybody's pick to come out of that first in-season or play-in tournament game. And you just wonder, could that give Mike Brown's team a little bit more of a fresh perspective here heading into New
York? Well, and we'll see if Monk is going to be available with that knee. He is currently listed as questionable, did not go against Golden State. So, I think that would help them from a depth standpoint. We know Kevin Huerter has been out for a while with the shoulder. So, look, it's already accounted for that Zion's not going to be there. I haven't bet this. It's kind of tough to bet a team that's lost five times. It's like, well, the sixth time is charm. What do they say in college basketball? Difficult to beat a team three times. Well, how about six times? So I'm not sure what I'm doing with this, at least on a side perspective as of yet. Probably if you're looking at, okay, who's gonna replace Zion a little bit, especially like his passing, then probably Alvarado. His props did go over big time yesterday, but now it's going to be priced in, of course, a little more than it was. I think his points, rebound, and assist was 9.5 or something, really paltry. And, he just went ahead and smashed that. But, and in terms of, the scoring, I think they'll be able to score a little bit more at the paint with JV, with Jonas Valanciunas against Sabonis. They'll probably just trade buckets and rebounds against each other. So maybe looking at them on the points and rebounds, one of the combos, the PR or the points, rebounds, assists, and Sabonis's case. But nothing yet on the side for me. My gut says Kings win this game, but it's been accounted for already.
It has been. The Alvarado, you mentioned points, rebounds, assists, 9.5 the other night. Just his points alone, he's not available yet on points, rebounds, assists at DraftKings. Points alone is 7.5, shaded way over, so tells you.
Yeah, these move very quickly, prop markets. So, you know, in the regular season, they're a little bit more slow to adjust, but in the playoffs where you have very limited inventory on the board, they can adjust that very quickly.
I wonder, too, what your record would be if you just looked at the highest player, just a pure point prop in these games, especially with games that have moves to the under. Now, this obviously is a move based on injury here with Zion Williamson, but I imagine probably would have gotten some under money anyway, the way the trends have gone. What your record would be, Wes, if you just faded like the top point scorer in the point prop market and you took him under.
Yeah, that's something I'll monitor, actually, this postseason.
Both Jimmy Butler, Joel Embiid, they went under by a lot. You cashed on Embiid. They both went under in game one. I just bring that up because, you know, De'Aaron Fox, 27.5. He's battled injury this year. Obviously, very focal player in the backcourt for Sacramento. You figure, though, I mean, Domantas Sabonis, who controls the game so efficiently, you know, there's now no Zion on the interior. How will that look as a result, and how will the Pelicans choose to defend De'Aaron Fox, understanding he can certainly change the game from the three-point arc? Goes on the road here. Could that be a spot with him so juiced up you fade him?
And a lot of it with Fox, too, depends on how competitive the game is, because Fox is usually a guy that plays almost the entire fourth quarter. They preserve his minutes. They substitute him in and out pretty liberally. And then he plays most of that fourth quarter. If you're behind, sometimes he could definitely play catch up on those points.
Sure. Could the sixth time be the charm for the Kings? I once in junior tennis had a friend who lost 12 straight matches to the same kid. And then the 13th time he beat him. And I was like, you know, it's really hard to beat a tennis player.
Speaking of tennis, I'm glad you actually brought that up. What is the famous Vitas Gerulaitis quote when he played Jimmy Connors? And he finally broke the streak. Yeah. He goes, nobody beats Vitas Gerulaitis 17 times in a row.
Nobody does.
What a great quote. Because, like, Jimmy Connors, like, owned him, basically, like he owned most people. But Vitas Gerulaitis, one of the all-time great personalities in tennis.
That is amazing, yes. Which, as youth players, we would always take those quotes. I had an opponent once who carried Brad Gilbert's book, Winning Ugly, in his bag. And on a changeover, I'm just absolutely, you know, torching him up big. He takes the book out and he starts reading it on a changeover. I'm like, buddy. And he was reading it for like 5 minutes. You
it's
know?
Like, the Henry Winkler character in The Waterboy leading coaching football for dummies. Mr. Coach Klein.
I'm friends with the guy. I'm like, dude, Tommy, you're not going to change the. What are you trying to get in my head?
He's trying to learn something, man. He's trying to.
Oh, man.
He's trying to use the mental game because the physical game clearly wasn't working at that point.
What a time to be alive. Those are the glory days. I'm well beyond that. I mean, like, I lost a set to Todd Wishnev like a couple years ago. I've fallen far.
Boy, that is a fall from grace, though, isn't
well,
it?
Well, to give Todd credit, that was during his weight loss summer when he was having the battle with Steve Fezzik, and Todd was playing every day. I was very out of shape, and on a 120-degree afternoon, I won the first set, and then I crumbled. I won 6-0 in the first set, and then I just, you know, I called it a back spasm, but it wasn't really. A back spasm.
Mm-hmm.
I'll admit that. I'm, you know, I feel like I'm.
You're being very sportsmanlike. Here.
We're gentlemanly Midwesterners, Wes. We don't like to mess with the integrity of the game.
No. So, anyway. We'd never do that.
We would never. If Todd's listening at midnight in Pittsburgh, we still.
I hope he isn't, considering I just, like, buried him. You went ahead and say, no, give him credit.
Well, Fezza came on the air and said, what was worse, me betting Purdue moneyline against Fairleigh Dickinson or you losing to Todd in tennis? And I was like, come on, that's not fair.
Yeah, no. I would lean toward the former.
We love tennis.
Question.
All right, hour number one in the books here on Visa Tonight. We'll update everything on the other side.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.